Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, They Were Her Property, White Women as Slave Owners in the American South by Stephanie E. Jones Rogers is a work of history that revises long-standing assumptions about slavery in the United States, centered on the antebellum South. The book argues that white women were not merely bystanders within a male-dominated slave system, but active owners, managers, and beneficiaries of enslaved labor. Drawing on testimonies of formerly enslaved people alongside legal, financial, and narrative sources, Jones Rogers shows how women acquired people as property, controlled sales and punishments, and used slaveholding to build wealth and social authority. The book belongs to the intersecting fields of American slavery, women's history, and African American history, and its purpose is to recover a dimension of slave society that has often been minimized. Rather than treating gender as evidence of innocence, it examines how white womanhood itself was shaped by participation in slavery. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, white women were economic actors, not passive beneficiaries. A central argument of the book is that white women in the South exercised real economic power through slave ownership. Jones Rogers shows that enslaved people were often a woman's most valuable form of wealth, sometimes more important than land. This matters because it overturns the familiar assumption that married women were legally and economically absorbed into their husband's property. The book demonstrates that many women retained ownership, inherited people directly, and used those holdings to sustain household status and influence. In practice, this meant women were participating in the core mechanism of the slave economy, not standing outside it. By framing white women as economic agents, the book changes how historians understand both gender and capitalism in the slave South. It also reveals that wealth accumulation through human property was not restricted to elite male planters. It was embedded in female identity, family strategy, and everyday social power. Secondly, formerly enslaved testimony is used to reconstruct women's power. Jones Rogers relies heavily on the accounts of formerly enslaved people to show what white women actually did as owners. This source base is important because traditional records often reflect the legal language and self-justifying claims of slaveholders, which can hide women's direct involvement. By reading slave narratives, testimony, and other records against legal and financial documents, the book recovers experiences that would otherwise remain obscured. The method does more than supply emotional texture. It changes the historical argument. Enslaved witnesses describe women attending markets, directing punishments, overseeing labor, and refusing to separate their property from household arrangements. Those accounts make it difficult to preserve the myth that white women were sheltered from the violence of slavery. The book therefore shows how historical method shapes historical memory by centering Black testimony. Jones Rogers not only reconstructs women's participation in slavery, but also challenges the racial and gendered silences that have long structured the history of the antebellum South. Thirdly, slaveholding helped define white womanhood in the South. The book argues that slave ownership was not only a source of income for white women, but also a way of forming identity. In the slave South, social standing depended heavily on access to enslaved labor, and women used that access to secure authority within family and community life. Jones Rogers shows that ownership could reinforce expectations of respectability, competence, and refinement while resting on coercion and racial domination. This is one of the book's most important insights because it links gender ideology to slavery, rather than treating them as separate systems. White womanhood in this account was not naturally gentle or politically detached. It was built through participation in a violent property regime. That helps explain why slaveholding women had incentives to defend slavery and resist limits on their control. Their gender status was strengthened by the institution that also enabled the exploitation of enslaved people. The book thus exposes how claims about feminine dependence or delicacy could coexist with, and even mask, active domination. Fourthly, women's management of enslaved people could be as brutal as men's. Jones Rogers directly confronts the stereotype that women were less harsh than male slave owners. The book shows that many white women managed enslaved labor with discipline, surveillance, and punishment, sometimes in ways that were as severe and calculating as those of men. This does not mean all women behaved identically, but it does demonstrate that gender did not function as a barrier to cruelty. Women could buy, sell, discipline, and separate enslaved people in pursuit of profit or household control. They also understood market conditions and could participate in transactions with sophistication. That finding is historically significant because it rejects any moral exemption based on femininity. Instead, the book reveals that slavery rewarded expertise and coercion regardless of sex. This helps explain why the institution endured so long power was reproduced across households and generations, including through women who learned to administer it. The argument broadens the history of slave violence by showing how it operated in domestic spaces, not just on plantations managed by men. Lastly, The book reshapes slavery studies and modern memory. Beyond its archival findings, the book matters because it changes how slavery is interpreted in public history and scholarship. It forces readers to rethink familiar narratives about the Southern family, the plantation household, and the moral distance often granted to white women in accounts of slavery. That revision has consequences for both historical and contemporary debate. Historically, it broadens the field by joining women's history, African American history, and the history of law and economic power. Intellectually, it challenges the tendency to discuss slavery as a system run only by men while women remained peripheral. In public memory, the book complicates sentimental images of the Southern belle and the supposedly passive mistress. It also offers a model for how to study systemic racism through gendered institutions rather than isolated attitudes. Readers interested in slavery, feminism, historical method, or the making of racial wealth will find that the book does not simply add women to an existing story. It changes the story itself by showing that white women helped sustain slavery at its most material level. In conclusion, this book is essential for readers of American history. Women's and gender studies, African American studies, and anyone interested in how slavery actually functioned as an economic and social system. It is especially valuable for readers who want a work that combines rigorous archival research with a major reinterpretation of familiar history. The practical benefit of the book is that it sharpens historical literacy. It helps readers see how property, race, gender, and violence were intertwined in the antebellum South. The intellectual benefit is even larger because it challenges inherited ideas about white womanhood and exposes the hidden participation of women in slavery's daily operations. What makes it stand out from many other books in the genre is its insistence that the history of slavery cannot be understood by focusing only on male slaveholders. By centering formerly enslaved testimony and showing white women as active owners, Jones Rogers produces a more complete, more unsettling, and more convincing account of slave society. It is a strong choice for scholars, students, and general readers who want a revisionist history grounded in evidence rather than speculation. If you would like to support Stephanie E. Jones Rogers, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.